Today as we gather in this house to worship and celebrate his name. Join me in singing our call to worship. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Please sing. Unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before.
Lord, one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, who lives and loves through each one, meet us here today in this place as we worship. Teach us in our time together to accept one another as you have already accepted each one of us. Let your church be the vessel of healing and wholeness, compassion and encouragement, strength and comfort. Have mercy on your church this day that we might with one voice give glory and praise to you. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have a new song for our hymn of praise today. It's called Love Must Come. So I would invite you to sing on the choruses with us. Please stand. Let's worship the Lord today.
I know this life is filled with sorrow, and there are days when the pain just lasts and lasts. But I know there will come a day when all our tears are washed away, with the break in the clouds, His glory coming down. And in that moment,
every knee will bow, every tongue confess that God is love, love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, love has come for us all.
For anybody who has ever lost a loved one, and you feel like you had to let go too soon, I know it hurts to say goodbye, but don't you know it's just a matter of time till the tears are gonna end. You'll see them once again, and in that moment,
every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love, love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, love has come for us all. On that day, we will stand amazed at our Savior, God and King. Just to see the face of amazing grace as our hearts rise up and sing. Glory, hallelujah, thank you for the cross. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Christ has paid the cost. past that God is love, and love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, love has come for us all. That God is love, and love has come for us all. That God is love, and love has come for us all.
It's a good way to get our feet tapping, our heart pounding, right? Amen. Amen. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship this day. I'm going to take just a few moments here in our time of worship to update you on some of the things that are going on in the life of two of our ministries here at First Baptist Dandelion, our youth ministry and our children's ministry. Our children's ministry are busy studying the heroes of the faith. And they're tying their worship and their time of study around that concept. They meet on Sunday nights starting at 5:30 music and with missions and then music. Our RAs are gearing up to be doing their annual Super Bowl canned food drive. You'll hear more about that next Sunday. But I just want to encourage you to pray. And if you have any children, grandchildren, neighbors that have children, invite them to come on Sunday nights. It's a wonderful opportunity to connect to our children's ministry. Our meal always starts at 5 o'clock. That's a great opportunity. Now, speaking on behalf of the youth, our youth are busy and excited starting a new study next Sunday morning as we look at what it means to follow Jesus. And then on Sunday nights, we begin our times of worship, followed by consuming fire studies each Sunday night. And I just want to encourage our youth to come out Sunday nights. Come out on Sunday mornings. Come out whenever you can. The monthly mission projects that will be taking place. Preparing for a mission trip to Steubenville, Ohio this July. Lots of opportunities. If you have more questions about either one of these ministries, our children's ministry or our youth ministry, I want to encourage you to come and speak to myself about our youth ministry, speak to Laura about our children's ministry. We are more than happy to sit down and share the wealth of opportunities that lie here at First Baptist Elon. We're excited about this winter and this spring and what will happen in our youth and children's ministry. So be in prayer for that ministry and invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite anyone you can to be a part of it. This time, we're going to have another time for our children. Is our children's ministry message down front. Children, if y'all want to meet me down here. and God kept calling you in the middle of the night, waking you up. Did God have a important message for you? We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But I want you to remember two important things. One thing is this. When God called Samuel in the middle of the night, he called him by name. You see how I'm wearing my name tag up here? Our names are important because they're our identity. They understand who we are. And the fact that God knew Samuel by name, God's going to call you when you do too. When your name is left. Second thing I want you to remember is this. God called Samuel as a young child, just like you are. You don't have to be old like me. You don't have to be older than you. You can be a child, and God still sees you. Just remember this, because he will call you by name, and he will give you a mission. He will give you a plan. You just have to be careful. Father, I'm thankful that our children have no energy now after going over to the house here, here I am, and living the life of Samuel. Father, I'm thankful for the calling that you will place on each one of these children's lives. We can't wait. We can't even anticipate what you're going to do. Father, I just ask that when you call them by name, that they hear and they respond.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It's number 62 in your hymnal. Please stand. Thank you for bringing each of us here today. As we reflect on Dr. King's legacy, help us to love as you love unconditionally and show this daily to everyone we encounter. Please bless each gift and the giver, and let us always be a witness for you in all we say and do. Amen.
come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Well, there's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. For in his arms, come as you are. Oh, there's joy in the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you
that with this holiday weekend, many are traveling, visiting family, visiting friends, and we lift up those who are unable to gather in these walls this morning. Bring them safety. Lift up our church family who are struggling with health, with illness, with need beyond our understanding. We lift them and place them in your hands this day. We lift up our community as we seek to impact it and share your love. We place it in your hands today. And Father, as we come to a time of not just speaking our prayers and confessing our needs and our sins, we also are reminded that we're called to listen. So Father, as you speak, your servants are listening and ready to respond. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This morning, our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you will, turn your Bibles with me. You will be able to see the words on the screen behind me as well. Reading from John, chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Would you bow with me in prayer this day? Father, may we hear your voice this day, and may we respond. Amen. Stacy was an energetic first grader who was one of those students that every teacher loves to have for the first day of school, and then the rest of the year, not so much. See, Stacy had a problem with keeping her focus. Stacy had drawn Mrs. Smith's ire an entire day, and towards the end of the day, she finally said, "Stacy, you need to stay with me after school today." So Stacy, being the energetic child, said, "Okay, I will." And Miss Smith gave her an assignment. She said, "Knowing that you need to work on your handwriting, I'm giving you an assignment to do in class right here to write a paragraph with no less than 50 words about what you needed to do today." Thinking this would probably take a first grader some significant time, 30 minutes or to an hour, Stacy quickly got it done in 5 and turned it into Mrs. Smith's desk. Her response, shockingly, was, "Wow, how does she get it done so fast?" And then she turned to the paper, which you see on the screen. "To Mrs. Smith, I lost my kitty. I went out and called. Come, kitty, 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 kitty." 50 words. Stacy skipped out of the classroom, smiling and laughing. It's amazing how repetition can grab our attention. It's amazing how repetition is used in so many different ways and can be used by so many different purposes. You see, repetition for Mrs. Smith was to complete the assignment, work on your handwriting. Repetition to Stacy was a way of getting out of the punishment. How do we use repetition in our lives? The definition for repetition says this: recurrence of an action or an event. Repetition, depending on the role in which we speak it as, can be used in so many different ways. Think about this in your everyday life. When you go to a doctor, and the doctor maybe diagnoses you with an illness, or the doctor changes your medicine, you will notice a doctor will repeat those words at least 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 4 times. Why does he repeat the words? He wants the patient to understand. He wants the patient to grasp what he needs. When a teacher reminds students about their homework 2 or 3 or 4 times at the end of the day, the repetition is used to remind the students about their responsibility. When a chef echoes back an order that comes in from the wait staff on the cooking line, and he says this back 2 or 3 times, it's to remind the waiter to make sure all the details are there, to clarify the specifics. When an advertiser repeats the newest and greatest deal that you can get on the newest and greatest car, he uses repetition to capture our attention. When a parent warns his child, as we had the experience this weekend of eating at the Lindsay's house and enjoying fondue for the first time, as we remind our 6-year-old son, "Don't touch the pot, it's hot," over and over and over again, it was a warning. Be careful. When military generals repeat commands to their subordinate officials, they do it, they repeat, because they desire a response. When a wife or a husband repeats the words, "I love you," to their spouse, it's to remind them that they care. But what about God? What about God when he repeats himself to us? What about God when in the biblical narrative he repeats himself over and over and over again? Why does he do that? What's the point? Why does he repeat things? If we take a quick glimpse through the Bible, we see this happen many times. If you remember, as Abraham is on the top of Mount Moriah as he's about to plunge the knife into Isaac as a sacrifice, God calls down to Abraham and he repeats the words, "Abraham, Abraham," and he stops. When he encouraged Jacob in his old age to take that final trip to Egypt, the hesitancy of Jacob was, "I don't know if I should do this or not," but God calls him and he repeats his name, "Jacob, Jacob." From the burning bush, as Moses was wandering the fields, and God calls Moses, he grabs his attention by saying, "Moses, Moses." Even Jesus on the cross, as he's speaking some of his final words, he says, "My God, my God." Repetition can capture our minds, our memories. It shapes us. It dwells us, especially when the repetition is our name. This morning, we're going to look at a scripture passage that I have had the opportunity to study for some time in my doctoral work, a passage that has become one of my favorites in the Old Testament. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you would, please, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The words will also be on the wall behind me. In the midst of this story, God repeats Samuel's name for many different purposes. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, "Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. My son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in the place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." In the midst of this passage of repetition, we get a small glimpse of what is going on in the life of the people of Israel at this time. You see, as they moved into the promised land, the people of Israel were spread out in many different directions. Their once former worship sites that they had used in Egypt were now long miles in the past. And so as they gathered in the promised land, they set up two cities to be the places where people could travel to worship. One of them being Shechem, and the other one being Shiloh, where this story takes place. Shiloh was a place once of spiritual renewal and excitement and passion, but over the years had lost its fervor, has lost its focus and its voice. Eli was placed in Shiloh to be the spiritual leader for the nation. But as we see in this passage, it says the word of the Lord had not come for some time, so the silence was deafening. Samuel was a young boy. He was dedicated at the temple. He was promised by his mother that he would return to the temple and serve under Eli's tutelage, and that's what we see here. Samuel, a young boy, dedicated to the temple, he becomes basically the right-hand man to Eli, whose health is deteriorating. Eli had two additional sons. They did not follow the path that Eli would have desired, and the nation of Israel also recognized that. But Eli had basically taken Samuel under his wing as his other chance, his next chance to be a father. The people of Israel were in a time of a leadership vacuum. They had the rise of judges that had come through and led and guided. But at the end of this period of chaos, they desired something more. They desired a king who could step in and lead and guide. From the very outset of this passage, the word says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. That's the setting for our story today about Samuel and Eli, but there's so much more. If you notice in this passage, Samuel is said to be sleeping in the temple, sleeping in the place of worship. Literally, in our congregation, it would be like this, laying down at the foot of the altar table. Now, for many of you, this would seem strange. This would seem out of place. And it was. This was not to be done. But the word was so rare in those days that Eli placed Samuel beside the table so if God called, someone would listen. Maybe Samuel slept in the temple to be closer to Eli. Eli's room would be just adjacent to the temple walls, the sanctuary walls. And so if he was close enough, he could hear when Eli called. And Eli, someone losing his eyesight, needed quite a bit. So when Samuel is lying there in the temple, waiting to help Eli or trying to get a good night's sleep, it was not uncommon for him to hear the words of Eli echoing from the next door room, "Samuel, Samuel, come here." So Samuel is sleeping that night. Samuel is getting comfortable, as our kids got comfortable just a few minutes ago. They were lying down, ready to get those much desired sleep. You see, Samuel had a lot of responsibility in the temple. Since Eli's health had been deteriorating, it was the job of Samuel to run and get anything that needed to be used. Candles. To get anything that needed to be passed around for the worship time. It was his job to open the huge doors to the sanctuary at Shiloh in the morning and in the evening. It was his job to keep the candles lit throughout the entire day to make sure they did not run down. It was Samuel's job basically to do everything because Eli couldn't. So Samuel was exhausted. He was, as I say in my house, wiped out. And he lay down to sleep. Then Samuel hears a voice. A voice in the middle of the night. I can imagine he's halfway asleep, almost there when you're completely out. And God calls, "Samuel, Samuel." Place yourself in the shoes of Samuel. You hear your name called in the middle of the night. You've been called many times before by your teacher, Eli. And so as he woke, he ran to Eli and said, "I'm here. I'm here. What do you need?" Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." You see, God called Samuel by name that night to startle him to attention. Not just to startle him attention from a good night's sleep, but to startle his attention to the role that he is about to play in the life of Israel. His responsibility in the temple was about to change. God was going to be calling him to something much deeper, much more impactful. And how did he call him? Samuel. Samuel. As Samuel returned to bed, I can imagine it was even more difficult trying to go to sleep. I can imagine his mind was racing. Well, I know someone said my name. Maybe it's the echo of the day when he had been called to do numerous other things. But as Samuel lay down, he hears it again. God calls Samuel, "Samuel." And Samuel jumps up and runs to Eli's bedside. "I'm here. You called me. I'm here." "I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed." You see, God repeated Samuel's name. because he was clarifying the specifics. He was going to give him a warning about what was about to take place and a need that Samuel was going to be for the nation of Israel. So as Samuel returned to the bedside, I can really imagine that his eyes never closed. He's sitting there thinking, I'm hearing voices in my head. What in the world is going on? And then he hears it again. We're not told if God said, Samuel, Samuel, but we can assume that. So God calls again, Samuel, and he awakens. And Samuel's starting to get it. Doesn't quite understand what's going on, so he rushes to Eli's bedside, and I can imagine he's going over the conversation in his head as he rushes to his teacher's bedside. Eli, are you sure you're not calling me? Eli, have you started talking in your sleep? Maybe that's what's going on. But Eli, being the teacher and the spiritual leader that he is, finally realized that someone's calling Samuel, but it's not coming from my voice. Eli tells Samuel to return to his bedside, but this time, listen carefully. And as you listen carefully, be ready to hear the word of the Lord. God calls again, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel's eyes didn't close that time. And he said, I'm here. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You see, that last time that God called him, he was calling him by name and letting him know that I am who I am. I am Yahweh. I am the God that you celebrate and worship. I am the one that has led you to this place, to this time, to this location. I am your father. I love you, and I call you by name. Repetition. The simple repetition of a child's name by God drastically affected the life of a child. The repetition of his name was a way of preparing Samuel for all the highs and all the lows that he would be experiencing. You see, the message that he was given by God was one that he did not want to deliver to his teacher Eli, but he was called to do so. And Samuel would then be later called to anoint the first king of Israel, Saul, and then the second king, David. You see, the responsibility that was about to be laid on a child's shoulders was one that if he walked alone, he could not do it. But he had the Almighty Father who is carrying it with him every step of the way. A few moments ago, as I was talking to our children, I reminded them that God doesn't just call adults. God calls children. God calls teenagers. God calls everyone if we're willing to listen. God used repetition for Samuel to grab his attention, to warn about impending responsibility, to identify a need that they had in their lives, and he calls us by name and he wants us to respond. As we sit here today and as our nation celebrates the holiday of Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow, as we reflect on the life of a man who was called as a child, a Baptist pastor who saw the injustice in the world, and he stepped up. You see, the thing about Martin Luther King Jr. was this. He knew that he could not do it alone. He saw the need, and he acted. He heard his name called by the same God that called Samuel and the same God that calls us, and he responded. But he did not carry that burden alone. He called out into the wilderness, and many responded. He filled the hearts of a nation. To deal with the injustice during the civil rights era. The speech that we are most familiar with when it comes to Martin Luther King is the I Have a Dream speech. 250,000 people gathered on the foot of the Lincoln Memorial. What better fitting place to do it when Dr. Martin Luther King got up to inspire a nation to join him. And the repetition of I Have a Dream 8 times in the span of 10 minutes grabbed the attention of the people standing there and grabs our attention still today. I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. Samuel thought he was in a dream, but it was God speaking. As we gather here this day, as we reflect on the life of Samuel, as we reflect on the life of Martin Luther King Jr., as we reflect on the lives of so many who have heard their names called by God, David, David, this is my plan for you. As we gather here this day, we may place ourselves in anywhere on the timeline of the Samuel story. We may be the slumbering Samuel at the very beginning, exhausted from the responsibilities of the day, and not sure that if they heard God call my name. Or we may place ourselves as someone who's heard, who's maybe responded, maybe in a different way than God initially intended, but we've heard our name called, and when it was called, we responded. But we weren't ready to take up the action. Maybe we place ourselves, as Samuel did as he returned to the bed that second time, recognizing that something's going on, but I just don't get it. God, you're calling me by name, but I just can't put my finger on it. Or maybe you place yourself, as Samuel did that third time, returning to Eli's bed and saying, God, what do you want? God, guide me. Speak to me because I am ready to listen. Where do you put yourself on the spectrum? Have you heard your name called? Have you heard your name repeated? Because that name, Samuel, Samuel, can simply be your name too. Let us pray. Father God, you call, and Father, we try to listen. Father God, you call, and we hear and recognize your voice. Father God, you call, and we respond. We are here. We're listening. Speak, Lord. I am your servant. Father God, when you call each one of us, we are challenged to respond. May we hear your voice this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Maybe as you've gathered here this morning, you've gathered here as a response to a feeling or a voice inside you that said, I need to be at First Baptist Elon today. Maybe you're hearing that call for the first time, not yet knowing our God as our Lord and Savior. Maybe that's what He's calling you today. The altar will be open during the invitation, and please come forward if you feel so led. Maybe God's calling you to recognize an injustice in the world, just as Martin Luther King Jr. did, and to step up and speak out about it. Come share that with us. Share it with the congregation. God is calling you by name. Are we ready to respond? Please stand and join us as we sing our invitation hymn, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, hymn number 411.
few moments. If you accept the Askew family as a part of our congregation and in support of them, I ask that you will please stand. You have a lot bigger family now. And look forward to all of those lives. Reminded that God